time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
On a Thursday, an NFL Thursday. That's right. NFL season. Kicking off. Chiefs and Ravens. We'll have picks on that way at the end of this 60-minute extravaganza. Ian O'Connor is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. He will join us coming up in segments 3 and 4 on the show today, old friend of mine. Back from my ESPN Radio New York days. So looking forward to chatting with him and talking to him about his latest New York Times bestseller. So we got that coming up as well. But Sam Yarnell, we start things out in the NFL. We will go NFL wall-to-wall today on the show. I don't care that the Cubs threw a combined no-hitter. They're not going to the playoffs. Sorry, Cubs fans. You're getting no love on the program today. You picked the wrong night to throw a no-hitter. A combined no-hitter at that. All right, Sam Yarnell, AFC, NFC. We're going to start it out with the AFC today with our predictions for the show. We'll give our division winners and wild cards for the AFC right now. I am going to start it with the AFC North. And in that AFC North, I think, look, assuming health, I still think the Bengals are going to win that division. I know it probably puts me in the minority. I have been a believer in the Bengals for a while now. I think that is going. I think there's a chance every team in that division is over 500. I think it might be the only. I think it might be the only division in the NFL that has that situation. Maybe the AFC East could as well. But I think the AFC North may have every team over 500. I think the Bengals eke out the division over the Baltimore Ravens. Why are you giving me that look when I say the AFC East as well? Oh, because of the Patriots? Yeah, maybe not. You're right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's fair. All right, so 3 out of the 4 teams in the AFC East. My bad. So we're going AFC North, Cincinnati to win the division. AFC East, I think the Jets are going to win the division. Going with the Jets. Everybody keeps talking about assuming health, and that's why nobody wants to pick the Jets. Because on paper, everybody will tell you the Jets are the best team in that division. And I have to go with what's on paper because I can't assume injuries. That was like you at the beginning of last season saying, well, Tua can't get through a whole season. He can't stay healthy. Well, you know what? He played every single game. So you just never know year to year. I assume health. If I assume health, Jets are the best team in the division. I give them the AFC East. The AFC South, Sam Yarnell. The AFC South, I am going with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, my God. How could you not go with the Houston Texans? Again, last year, I think a big part of the reason why Jacksonville struggled down the stretch, inconsistent quarterback play. Some of that was due to injury. I think Trevor Lawrence was banged up. Not think. We know he was banged up coming down the stretch. I think Jacksonville ekes out that division over Houston. Gives you a hint as to where I'm going with my wild card. AFC West, it's easy. Kansas City Chiefs are the cream of the crop in the AFC West. All right, Sam, go.
All right, Jason, I got to try to remember the order in which you did it. I think it was Northeast, Southwest. That would make sense. We'll follow the compass here. We'll start in the AFC North, where I just do not see anyone beating the Baltimore Ravens this season. For good measure, I think the Ravens are going to be the one seed in the AFC playoffs this year. This is a team that was very good last year all the way to the AFC Championship game, which they should have won had their rookie standout wide receiver not just crumbled a little bit under the brightest lights that he had played under in his career. And they go out and add one of the top 10 greatest running backs of our generation in Derrick Henry to their team, a guy who's poised to go for over 1,000 yards rushing again this season. So give me the Baltimore Ravens to, again, eke out, like you said, with the Jaguars in the South. I'm taking the Ravens to eke out this division and get the one seed in the AFC. As we move to the AFC East, you're going to call me a homer. This is the Buffalo Bills division to lose. It always was. It still always is.
Everybody we've had on the show agrees with you.
And it's... It- I just can only get there for a couple of reasons. When we talk about the Jets, sure, I'm even fine assuming health. Let's say Aaron Rodgers plays an entire season as well as he did the last time he was on a football field for an entire season. What happened that season? Aaron Rodgers had the worst season of his professional football career, numbers-wise. Sure, you can tell me that the weapons weren't all there in Green Bay, but really, you're going to tell me that Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson are that much better than Aaron Jones was at that time and the trio of young wide receivers that Rodgers had in that offense? I'm not going to buy it. That's why I can't buy into the Jets this year. I'll give a spoiler here. I don't even have them as one of my wild card teams. I'm on the Jets to miss the playoffs entirely this year and under 9.5 wins. As we move to the South, Jason, I totally get the feeling that this will be a neck and neck division as it was last year through the first, 10 weeks of the season until week 12 when the Jaguars choke began. I'm going to take the Texans here. I know that they might not be the most fun team to invest in fantasy wise because we know there's only one ball in that offense. But hey, last year, D'Amico Ryans proved to you that he can coach a playoff caliber defense. And let's not forget, they're getting their best receiver back this year, which they did not have for the last portion of last season. Everyone's so ready to write off Tank Dell and give Nico Collins the wide receiver one in this offense. I'm sorry, folks. That's not how it works. CJ Stroud showed you when both of those guys were healthy last season, Tank Dell is his favorite receiver in that offense to throw to. I don't see that changing this year. I think the Texans ride that all the way to an AFC South Division Championship. And Jason, you're right. The AFC West is the easiest division in football to pick. It's the Chiefs. It's nobody else. They're going to win the division by 2-3 games.
Yeah, it is the time saver in this segment for sure. All right, I'll give you my wild cards real quick, then you hand me yours. I got news for you, Sam. Buffalo is not making the playoffs. Not making the playoffs. I think people underestimate what the loss of Stephon Diggs is going to mean to this team. I'm going with the Jets to win the division. I will go with the Dolphins to win the wild card. And not because I think the Dolphins are a great team, by the way. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're going to beat up on the lesser teams like they did last year and get enough wins, makes them a wild card. I will take Miami as one of my wild cards. I will go Baltimore with my second wild card team. And my third wild card team might be a little bit of a surprise to some. It's the Houston Texans. So we're going with the Texans, the Ravens, and the Dolphins as my wild card teams. Go ahead, quick.
Bengals, Dolphins, easy to pick. Chargers, back their way into the playoffs. All they're going to do all season is run the football. Jim Harbaugh's a playoff coach.
NFC's next. Ian O'Connor joins us in 10 minutes. New York Times bestselling author. Out of the Darkness. Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, his latest bestseller. Talk to him about that coming up. What did he learn in the process of putting this biography together? Can't wait to pick his brain. All right, Sam Yarnell, it is an NFL Thursday show. All the predictions you can possibly stomach. Let's go to the NFC now. You know what? I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to pull an audible. You get to go first on the NFC. I will be magnanimous in my gestures. You get to go first. Give me your NFC winners right now.
All right, I'll go directionally, just like we did in the last segment, Jason. Start with the North. I have the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North this year. This is probably the division that I picked out of all of them that I was the least confident in. The Packers just seem like they have something to me, and I know that it's recency bias. I'm admitting it here on the show. The last 7 games of the Packers regular season last year were amazing. And that playoff run, too. I'm so sold on the Packers. Jordan Love has done it. That front office has sold me on Jordan Love with the contract to him this offseason.
They had recency bias, too. They gave him all that money.
Exactly. So give me the Packers by the skin on their teeth. I'm talking a game or a tiebreaker to win the NFC North. In the East is where you'll find the NFC's one seed, in my opinion. And I do think that is the Philadelphia Eagles. We're so quick to talk about how Jason Kelce leaving is going to somehow demolish this offense. Listen, the center is a very important position in the offensive line, and sure, maybe it'll negate the tush push, but I'll tell you what, folks, what's going to not negate the tush push is having Saquon Barkley, who can squat 400 pounds, standing right behind Jalen Hurts. I am not worried about this Philadelphia offense, and let's not forget, I know Devontae Smith getting stripped of the captaincy is supposed to be some whole falling out. Listen, at the end of the day, they might have the best wide receiver room in football when you're talking about Smith across from Brown. So give me the Philadelphia Eagles to win the East and as your NFC one seed. In the West, I'm going to deviate here a little bit, but I know that this deviation is something that everyone's heard at this point because everyone seemingly in the football industry has caught on. I like the Los Angeles Rams to win the NFC West this year. Matthew Stafford is an MVP type quarterback. He's got the experience that it takes to win meaningful games, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. We've seen that. I know the loss of Aaron Donald is going to be big for them. Don't get me wrong, but that defense proved themselves last year and the weapons within that offense are plentiful. So give me the Los Angeles Rams to squeak out the NFC West. I'm sorry, I skipped over the NFC South.
Yes, you did.
Because it's the most relevant division in football. But who's going to win it? It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to win it again this year. All the hype around the Atlanta Falcons is for naught. I do not think that Kirk Cousins and some combination of him and Michael Penix Jr., who I think we will see this year, are not going to be able to win that division for the Falcons. So those are my four division winners in the NFC, Jason.
All right, Sam. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in the NFC East. Much like the Dolphins, I think they'll beat up on the teams they're supposed to beat up on. And I'm not convinced Philadelphia has altogether figured out exactly how to make the combination of Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley work. I'm interested to see how that sort of molds throughout the year. You've got a coach who's certainly on the hot seat in Nick Sirianni. Given what took place last year, I do think Philadelphia will be a playoff team. Spoiler alert there. But I think the Cowboys win the division. NFC North. Again, maybe a little recency bias on my part, and I mean a real recency bias. I'm not buying into the 7-game stretch we saw from Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. My shocker, I think the Bears win the division. I think the Chicago Bears win the NFC North. I don't think it's a great division, by the way. What am I saying? I said Chicago. My apologies. I had Chicago as a wild card. My apologies. Detroit to win the division. Sorry, I was looking at my list backwards. I had my list backwards.
I almost laughed on camera.
It's my list backwards. It's my list backwards. That's on me. That's on me. I had the list backwards. That's on me. My apologies. This is what happens when I start reading kind of scripts and the script is wrong. Detroit to win the NFC North. We'll go away from there now because I've just made a fool of myself. Detroit to win the NFC North. NFC South, anybody who's watched this show over the last couple of weeks knows I am in love with the Falcons. We'll take the Falcons to win that division. Again, you have to assume health. If that team stays healthy, I think they're the best team in the division. And in the NFC West, it's still the Niners. You know, like they say in politics, it's the economy, stupid. It's still the Niners, stupid. It has to be still the Niners. They are still the best team in that division. Talk about health, by the way. Matthew Stafford can never stay on the field for an entire season anymore, it seems. So I'll go with San Francisco as my other division winner. All right, wild card picks, quick.
All right, my three in the wild card for the NFC. Obviously, the Lions are the first wild card team. There's no way that this team does not make the playoffs this year. My second wild card team is the Cowboys because, again, that offense is going to be potent enough. Even though I am not expecting as big of a year as everyone else is from CeeDee Lamb, I do think that time he missed in training camp will hurt him severely. And then I think the Niners are going to scratch and claw their way into a wild card seed. This is another one I think is by by a tiebreaker. Listen, at the end of the day, it is very clear and has become very apparent to all of us over the last 48 hours. There is massive, massive turmoil in that San Francisco front office. They are going to have to scratch and claw, just like they had to scratch and claw just to keep last year's team together. They're going to have to scratch and claw to find their way into the playoffs.
Eagles is one of my wild card teams. The NFC East is a joke outside of the Cowboys and the Eagles. So I will go with both those teams to make the playoffs. Cowboys win the division. Eagles take the wild card. In the NFC North, I spoiled it before because I got it all backwards. Chicago will be my second wild card team. I have Green Bay missing the playoffs because my third wild card team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I will go with the Eagles, Bears, Buccaneers as my wild card teams. We got 45 seconds if you just want to talk.
So I'm just trying to do the math in my head. I think the only difference between our lists was I had the Packers and who did I have making it that you didn't?
Well, you don't have Atlanta winning the division. I know that.
Correct. But you have Tampa Bay making it as a wild card.
You have the Rams.
Team.
You have the Rams.
Oh, you don't have the Rams making the playoffs. Correct. Right. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't have the Rams making the playoffs. Yeah, and it's another team. Again, they just can't keep their quarterback healthy. Matthew Stafford is so fragile at this stage of his career. Ian O'Connor will join us on the other side, get some thoughts with him on his great new New York Times bestseller that I have just started reading, all about Aaron Rodgers. That's next. It is great to have you with us on this Thursday edition of Sports Wrap. I said we'd go NFL wall to wall, and we are. We'll take a break from the predictions. Sam Yarnell will return coming up in about 20 minutes. I am thrilled to have this guy on the show. Somebody I got to work with briefly back in my ESPN Radio New York days. He is one of the great authors of our generation when it comes to biographical pieces. His latest is all about Aaron Rodgers, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, another New York Times bestseller for Ian O'Connor, who joins us on Sports Wrap. Ian, first of all, congratulations on another bestseller. Tell me what drove you and made you want to delve into such a complicated character such as Aaron Rodgers.
It's a pleasure to be on with you, Jason. Thanks for the kind words. And actually, Vince Lombardi coached in my high school, and the only place he was a head coach before the Green Bay Packers was St. Cecilia's High School in Englewood, New Jersey. And he lived eight houses away from my childhood home. So I was always fascinated by the Packers and wanted to do a Packers book. And then Aaron Rodgers, a great Packer, got traded into my backyard. I was actually doing a LeBron James bio, had just started it, but I pivoted away from that to Rodgers because I felt that he was an all-time great player, even though he only had the one Super Bowl ring, obviously. Partnering with this Charlie Brown franchise in the biggest market, coming from the smallest market, I thought it was the right time to do it. So that's why I took the project on. I always thought from a distance he was a fascinating, mysterious, compelling figure. So again, that's why I decided to do this book.
What is the biggest misconception that you come away from this being able to dispel about Aaron Rodgers from all of the research and conversations you had?
I think it's that players around the league love the guy. And that goes back to, I mean, even going back to his high school days and junior college days, and it was almost universal. I was surprised. I thought, Jason, I would get more negativity from teammates. And now there are a couple guys, Jermichael Finley, Greg Jennings, over the years with the Packers, who said some negative things. They also said some positive things as well. But it was surprising that as a teammate, as a leader, and as a person, that I got so much positive feedback from his teammates over his 20-year career. And again, going back to even his high school and college days, I was surprised by that, just given all the negative coverage and a lot of self-inflicted wounds from him, unforced errors in recent years that have really damaged his public image to the nth degree. So that to me was surprising.
Is he as sensitive as we think he is to the criticism, to the narrative that's been written about him?
I do think he cares. And I think, Jason, deep down, he's a human being who cares. And he does get hurt by criticism like most of us do. I think he really doesn't want to show that and denies it. sometimes he leans into that role that he's taken on the last 3 years. Ever since those four words in his August 21 press conference in Green Bay, when asked if vaccinated, and he said, yeah, I've been immunized, he's become a villain, because that obviously was not true. The truth came out 3 months later and really caused damage to him that he has not recovered from. So I think he's decided to, over the last 3 years, really dig in and fight the media on a lot of fronts. And he's defended some indefensible positions, I feel, and has hurt himself even more. But deep down, I think the good guy, who used to be praised by the same media commentators who rip him now for being on the right side of some social issues like Colin Kaepernick and others, I think that person is still there. And I think this book brings out some stories from his friends and associates behind the scenes, acts of generosity and kindness that balance out that portrait.
I just started reading the book this week, Ian, so I haven't gotten too deep into it yet. How much do you get into the family stuff? Because we know he's been, you know, it's been long reported about his estrangement from his family. How much do you delve into that? How much was he willing to talk about that?
He was willing to talk about it with me. I sat with him at his Malibu home, nice backyard setting right on the Pacific Ocean. And he did engage on that subject on the record for a little bit. There were some things about it he didn't want to talk about for public consumption. I interviewed his parents. They've never really given an interview on that subject at length. And they believed it was really the fault of Olivia Munn, the actress he was dating in 2014 when the estrangement started. They felt, Jason, that she turned him against them. That's not really the truth. And Aaron said that. He had feelings about his family members going into that relationship. And Olivia just confirmed those feelings. And that is that he felt his generosity with family members was not fully appreciated. He felt that the family unit as a whole was really revolving too much around his success. And I quoted a good friend in the book, Jordan Russell, who said, if you're a friend or family member and he believes that you're laying claim to his success, he's going out of his way to make sure you do not do that. Wow. He'll remove you from his life. And unfortunately, he has that character trait where if he feels you're a distraction, a hurdle in his path to being an all-time great, if you're not mission aligned, he will permanently remove you from his path in his life. And I do have a hopeful scene in the book of him hugging his dad last year at Lake Tahoe at the celebrity golf tournament. And that's the first time he had seen or talked to his father in 9 years. And when he grew up, his idols in a football context were Joe Montana and Steve Young. But he wanted to be his dad. His dad was his real idol. So they did have a hug and they each said, I love you. It was a 30-second interaction at that golf tournament. But they both told me in the book that they want to have a relationship again. And they do love each other. So if that happens, I think in the coming months, I hope that the rest of the family unit falls into place.
You do talk about, and we were just having this conversation about, you know, sort of this narrative and him leaning in. Do you feel like there's still enough time for him to change the narrative? And does he even want to? Or is he sort of entrenched in this position right now?
You've been around sports like I have long enough to know that winning cures a lot of ills, and not just on the field, off the field too. It shouldn't be that way because victory doesn't equal virtue, but it often gets confused with it. If he wins a championship for the New York Jets, who haven't been in the Super Bowl in 55 years, I think it'll be I've been doing this for almost four decades. I think it would be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime. So if he can do that at age 41, he turns 41 in December. I think it changes everything. I think getting that second ring in the big city for a franchise that's a Charlie Brown franchise, wow. I just think historically it would just change so much, enhance so much about his legacy and standing in the sport. And I do think that would even take care of, eliminate some of these off-field controversies that have really been the focus of the discussion about Aaron Rodgers the last 3 years.
Ian O'Connor is our guest. He's the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. We're going to hold him for one more segment. I want to talk to him a bit about the now when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, the injury last year, obviously, that sidelined him for the entire season, and also get into sort of where he was during that time, that place he was in mentally. All of that and a whole bunch more. Ian O'Connor hanging out with us on Sports Wrap on a Thursday. Don't go anywhere. One more segment with Ian O'Connor, the New York Times bestselling author. His latest all about Aaron Rodgers. Out of the darkness, the mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Congratulations on another bestseller, Ian. So, absolutely. I think it's fantastic. I started getting into this book this week, and it's my poolside reading here at our new place in Vegas. I go and sit by the pool, take out the iPad, and it's great. So I appreciate you getting me a copy of the book. All right, so take us to last year. You know, he has this injury. He goes extensively through trying to rehab to get back. Talk a little bit about what you learned about Aaron Rodgers and just how devastating this injury was for him last year, you know, on the very first series of the season for the Jets.
I was in the building. I actually drove his parents to the game. Wow. So they were in the crowd, and I actually felt for them. I really did. Even though they were estranged from him, it's still their flesh and blood out there. And I remember talking to his mother before the game in the MetLife Stadium parking lot about getting nervous before big games. And she said, yeah, she still does. And he's the quarterback, so he's got a target on his back, meaning the entire defense is after him. So I do worry about injury. And lo and behold, four snaps in, he's out for the year. I've never been more heartsick for an athlete and a fan base than I was that night. It was a really tough thing to experience. And so Aaron was in a very, very troubled place. It was dark. It was grim in the early hours of that recovery from Achilles surgery. He was wondering whether or not he could ever make it back. He was wondering whether or not the Jets even wanted him back because he felt that he had let everyone down. And he got through that. It was tough, but his trainer who moved in with him, Aaron Alexander, told me those were really, really difficult times, more than people know. But he gets through that. Towards the end of the season, he told his trainer, if we win on December 17th at Miami and stay in the playoff mix, I'm playing on Christmas Eve against Washington. His trainer wanted no part of it. He said, if you tear this thing again, you're done. Let's wait to 2024 and try to win the Super Bowl that year. And Aaron was insistent. Well, the Jets made it a moot point because they got blown out in that game, typical Jets fashion. So Aaron doesn't play. Now he's getting ready to play again. I think he does have one, maybe two good years left in him. I don't think he'll play at an MVP level like he did four times with the Packers, but I can see him having a big year. He's got a really good running back who has a chance to be great. He's got a really good wide receiver who has a chance to be great. He's got an improved offensive line. He's got a very good defense with a chance to be great. So the head coach is a question mark, and that's a big deal here in New York. Robert Saleh has not proven to be a good head coach, so that could be a problem. But I think the Jets are a playoff team, and I think Aaron Rodgers will have a big and hopefully healthy season.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, in the first segment of the show today, I actually picked them to win the division because I think on paper they're the most talented team in the division if you assume health. And everybody's saying, well, everybody I've talked to, every football analyst, every insider that I've talked to has said, they're the most talented team on paper. They just don't believe they could stay healthy. I'm choosing to believe they're going to be healthy, and I think they win a close division there. How much does the political really sort of drive him, or how great is his interest in that? This whole RFK thing where RFK was like, hey, RFK Jr. is like, hey, he's one of my vice presidential considerations. How real is the political with Aaron Rodgers versus the perceived?
I don't think, Jason, he ever intended to become a politician. I still don't believe he has any aspirations to do that. I think he'll be one of the great analysts ever in a network booth. I think that's a natural transition for him after he's done playing. But the RFK Jr. thing, to me, was a joke. I think it was a Kennedy publicity stunt that worked. He got more publicity for that for a week and a half than anything else in his campaign. And I think Aaron Rodgers was never choosing unemployment over high-paid employment, and that was the choice. If Kennedy went through with his candidacy, he was getting blown out. And Aaron knew that, so he wasn't going to be vice president. So there was no way he was giving up his last chance to win a second ring in New York at very high wages, mind you. So no, that was never a real thing. Did Kennedy talk to him about it? Yes. And I don't think Aaron ever seriously thought it was a possibility because he was not giving up his day job. So I think he'll be a network broadcaster, a color analyst who will be unbelievable at it. If you listen to him talk football, it's mesmerizing. I don't know anybody, including Brady and Peyton Manning, who are better at doing that than he is. So, yeah, I think that's the natural post-playing path for him, even though he says now he's not interested in it. So we'll see how it plays out.
Whenever I get to sort of dissect great minds such as yourself, this is the sort of thing I wonder about now that you've finished putting this baby to bed and you have another bestseller. Who's next? Who do you really want to write about next? You've still got a lot of living left to do and a lot of writing left to do. Tell me the one or two that maybe you want to delve into next.
I think I want to get to LeBron James at some point because I was under contract to do that before Rodgers got traded to the Jets. Tiger Woods is someone I feel like before I'm done, I covered the vast majority of his career. And there have been some really good Tiger Woods books done. So I'm not sure there's still meat on that bone, but I sort of feel like I've got a Tiger book inside of me that I want to do. At some point, I also want to do a non-sports figure. I feel like that's the next big challenge for me. And whether that's political or entertainment, but somebody that is just a non-sports icon, if you will. And there's a basketball project I have a chance to get across the goal line in the coming weeks. And I'm not sure right now is official, but I'll let you know if that happens and I'll send you a text. And well, I think you'll be interested in that one, particularly given your roots. So, I'll be back in touch on that front.
All right. I appreciate it. Ian O'Connor, congratulations. All the best with this new book. It is called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. It's sort of looming behind Ian in the background, which I think is just brilliant. Ian, congratulations. Seriously, I appreciate you joining us.
Hey, you did me a favor having me on, Jason, and congrats on all your success. Thanks. Thank you.
We're coming back with more Sports Wrap. MVP picks are next. All right, let's take it to segment five on a Thursday, our NFL extravaganza. Happy opening night of the NFL season. Coming up in 10 minutes, odds and ends. Sam will have some futures bets and the like for you. Also throw in a prediction on the Thursday night NFL opener between the Ravens and the Chiefs in Kansas City. But Sam Yarnell, time for our predictions extravaganza to continue, and it's time for our most valuable players. Now, I have to say, these next two segments, we're going to do this, and then the next segment are Super Bowl picks. I am not fond of either of these segments and what I'm going to be delivering, because I don't feel a lot of passion for either of them. I kind of felt like I was going through the motions as I sat with this over the last couple of days preparing for the show. And I felt like I came to the most logical conclusion. I don't feel like I have anything flashy. I don't feel like I have anything with zing. I don't have something I'm excited about. I don't even have something I would run to a betting window and go and put my money on. To put it in layman's terms, I feel like I'm playing it really safe with both of these next two segments. And anybody who knows anything about me, I am not the play it safe kind of guy. But I'm playing it safe here. And here's my MVP pick. It's Lamar Jackson. I mean, there it is. In a game full of sort of sameness, I could have gone with Brock Purdy and made an argument because of the weapons around him. I could have gone with Tua because I think he's going to compile numbers. I could have gone with Jared Goff as the next step in the progression. I could go with Patrick Mahomes because, let's face it, he's Patrick Mahomes. But I find myself going back to Lamar Jackson because he is and has been the best regular season quarterback. And I don't see any reason why that doesn't continue, especially when you consider he's getting back one of his big offensive options in Mark Andrews. And you've got a group and a coach and a quarterback and all these guys that are extra motivated from what they were a season ago and the way the season ended. And while I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson because I have given up on that thing, that ship has sailed. I finally bought in last year that was going to be, this could be the year Lamar Jackson finally turned the corner, blah, 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 blah. And how did it all work out? But as a regular season quarterback, which is what the MVP is based on, I think Lamar Jackson is your guy. Again, I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not excited about it. I'm not going to go and throw a jersey on over my head and go, I want Lamar Jackson. It just, to me, feels like the logical pick when you break it all down. It's what I got for you.
Yeah, I mean, as much boring. As you might not think that that's fun, no, I mean, 20-1 right now on our friends over at DraftKings, because for whatever reason, FanDuel took every awards market for the NFL season off the board this morning. Made no sense to me. So you can find them on DraftKings right now, our friends over at DraftKings, 20-1 on Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go with a little bit of a shorter price. I'm going to go with the homer pick, Josh Allen, 9-1. I thought Kyle Brandt did a great job of explaining why this is a great MVP pick yesterday on Good Morning Football. But when we think about these awards, so often are they based around narratives. And I would be legitimately worried and have 100% a different pick had Josh Allen not just been voted by the players in the league as the most overrated player. As a member of the media myself, media members are quick to interpret that as, all right, let's build a storyline around how this guy's not actually that overrated. And as a guy who both of the years, or I should say the last 3 years, has been in the discussion for the MVP up until the very end of the season. I think this is the year that he finally gets over the hump and that the writers finally decide, you know, the narrative is 100% there this year for Josh Allen with no weapons around him, doing it himself. All he really needs to do, I think, is get the Bills to the playoffs and he'll be an MVP. But realistically, if he wins the division, it should be hands down. It's the same situation that Lamar Jackson was in previous years. When Mark Andrews would go down, every running back on the roster would miss the entire season. And Lamar Jackson would lead them to the playoffs. He would win the MVP. I expect the same from Josh Allen this season. Jason, I think now would probably be the best time to give out a couple of other season-long player props that I like. It feels like the nature of the segment. So there are some that really spoke to me. Obviously, check your lines, line shop. But I do like Derrick Henry over his season-long rushing prop. I found it at 950.5, and I'm not sure if that's the most up-to-date number. But whatever the case may be, Derrick Henry is going to rush for 1,000 yards this season in the prolific offense that is the Baltimore Ravens. We know that offense can run the football. Derrick Henry will return to his kingdom status. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. I know chalk to lead rookies in regular season receiving yards. The price on this is just too good. Plus 150 with our friends over at FanDuel. I really like that line. I think Marvin Harrison is going to play a key role in that offense. I like Jamar Chase's under just because of how much time he missed. I don't expect him to play the entire season at 100% considering his entire training camp is whittled down into 3 days. And I love Tank Dell over his receiving prop. It's very low. I saw it out there as low as 750 and 775.5. The books are guessing on Tank Dell because of how much time he missed last year. You'll remember when he was healthy, he was CJ Stroud's favorite target in that offense.
Yeah, he certainly was. Real quick, if not Josh Allen, who would be your next MVP pick?
Ready? Ready? Yeah,
go.
Anthony Richardson.
Oh. I'll go Brock Purdy. We're coming back. More Sports Wrap on a Thursday. All right, just about time to put the wraps on this baby for a Thursday on Friday. Full reaction to the Thursday night NFL opener. We'll preview the Friday NFL matchup as well as the weekend slate. Tino Patino will be here. Get you set up for NASCAR in Atlanta this weekend. The playoffs are underway. Robert Littal, Black Sports Online, will drop by. He's got some interesting things to say on the whole RG3 ouster from ESPN, which we haven't really talked about much on this program since coming back from vacation. That took place while I was out of town. But anyway, we'll get to all that on tomorrow's show. If you miss anything from any of our shows, go and check out the podcast. Go and subscribe. Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast available on Spotify, where you can actually watch the show. Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we are on all of them. All right, without any further delay, time for some odds and ends, Sam Yarnell. Odds and ends, Sam, before we get to our Super Bowl pick and our pick on tonight's game, you had something you wanted to throw in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just forgot to mention this future in the last segment, Jason, because it's on the defensive side of the ball. That's right, we're talking sacks, folks. We're taking Josh Hines-Allen at 14-1 to lead the league in sacks this year. People forget he tied with Trey Hendrickson for the second most sacks in the NFL last year, just a sack and a half behind T.J. Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who eventually was in contention for that Defensive Player of the Year award. Josh Hines-Allen is poised for more improvement this year beyond what he had last year. We've seen it year over year in his career since he's come back from that injury-riddled 2020 season. I'm just very high on the Jaguars' defense this season, and I really like Josh Hines-Allen to lead the league in sacks 14-1.
All right, I'm putting you up first. Your Super Bowl pick, Sam Yarnell.
All right, Jason. Well, I decided with my Super Bowl picks this year, I'm going to go with something fun. And what two narratives better explain fun playing in the Super Bowl than the young quarterback who just got the bag that not everyone was sure he deserved, and the quarterback who we've been saying for years can't win the big game. So I've got them meeting for the Lombardi Trophy in February. That's right. It'll be the Packers and Ravens in Louisiana, down in New Orleans. I'm so high on both of these teams. I think the Ravens are truly going to get the one seed in the AFC this year. They are that good. And with that bye, it'll give them a lot of time to rest, recover, and that is usually their downfall when it comes to the playoffs. So I really like the Ravens this year. And on the other side, I think the NFC playoffs are going to be a grit, grind, and hustle to the Super Bowl. And the team that's going to come out at the end of the day is going to be the Packers because of their youth and because of how that team moves the ball offensively. So give me the Packers and the Ravens, and I'll take the Ravens winning the Super Bowl 34-28.
I mean, when I have fun, you can jump into a lion enclosure and go try to pet the lions. I mean, that would be fun too. It may not end that well. Kind of like your picks here for Super Bowl. I have a feeling it's not going to end that well. I have a feeling we'll be playing this back towards the end of the year and kind of having some fun with it. But see, at least you had some fun. See, the problem for me, Sam, is my picks aren't any fun. Not having fun today. Not having fun. My MVP pick wasn't fun. Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's won them before, blah, blah, blah. My Super Bowl pick? It's boring. It's chalky. Leaves that film in your mouth. Might sound a little familiar to last year. Because it is last year's Super Bowl. San Francisco and Kansas City meeting in the Super Bowl again. And Kyle Shanahan comes up short in the Super Bowl again. And the Chiefs do something that's never been done before. And that is exciting. And that is win three straight Super Bowls. Look, I look at the paths for both of these teams. Kansas City, the division they're in. I think they face one of the paths of least resistance in the league this year. I talked to Matt Verderam and I hear him tell me that this team was embarrassed by the way it played during the regular season last year. Embarrassed. This is a team that won a Super Bowl. I know some think the path last year and showing they can win from pretty much any spot in the playoff positioning proves that they don't have to put the pedal to the metal. I think they do this year. I actually think they win more regular season games and sort of coalesce around this idea of how embarrassing last year was during the regular season. And look, San Francisco is San Francisco. If they're the healthy, they're the best team in the NFC. And I think they wind up back in the Super Bowl for that reason. So I will go with the Chiefs and 49ers meeting up in the Super Bowl, Sam Yarnell. That is my pick, and I'm sticking to it. All right, NFL season opener. Real quick, we need predictions, Sam. Ravens and Chiefs, the number on the game is 47.5. The line is Kansas City -3, according to our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook at the time we taped the show. Sam, who do you like tonight?
Yeah, so spread-wise, give me the Ravens. That's probably, of the spreads and totals, my favorite bet in this game. I just love getting the round three here. I think that this does turn into a field goal game either way. And Lamar Jackson's numbers against the spread in week one historically are just too good to bet against in this spot. Two props I'm on. Derrick Henry over rush attempts. I believe the number is 15 and a half. Climbing. So get in while you can. And Patrick Mahomes to throw an interception, you can boost it on DK to +130.
I like the Chiefs -3. Lost last year in their opener against the Lions. Not going to see a repeat of that. I also like the under in this game, especially early in the season. I love unders because I don't think you're going to see a ton of points scored. Teams are always rusty at the outset. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Ian O'Connor. Thanks to you, Sam Yarnell. Enjoy the football. We'll see you on Friday.